right after the text that we talked about last week with the healing of the lame man. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He, Jesus, is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And had absolutely no idea what it was it was trying to say to you? Or maybe somebody was trying to explain something to you? Like, for example, when Travis tries to explain computers to me, and I have absolutely no idea, and I get actually more confused than when we started. There's some signs that have been up here on the screen that are, we could say, confusing signs. My favorite one is, this is the back door. The front door is around the back. sometimes I love seeing the signs, ones that don't make any sense or are more confusing than help. In fact, I was just driving through up in Augusta yesterday, and I came to one of the circles, and there were all these lines going this way and that way, and I said, "I'm not following those signs. I'm just gonna get on this circle." And you could tell everybody was having the same problem because they were terrified to get into the circle, you know. Anyway, signs can be confusing, right? Today, we're continuing a series talking about sharing the faith. And what we don't want is that the message that we have to share, we don't want it to be confusing, right? We want it to be clear. We want to be able to make that clear. And so, today in our text, we have an example of Peter and John making a very clear statement of what God was doing and what their faith was all about. And so I want to take a look at that. You know, so Patty had already shared a little of the story that Peter and John had found this lame beggar who had been that way for 40 years, found him on the steps, and he was asking them for money. They healed him instead. He jumped up and down. Last week we talked about how people came running and they were amazed at seeing what God had done, or what they thought that Peter and John had done. And then, as people are all clamoring around, the religious leaders get concerned. And so it says in the text that they seized Peter and John. And what they actually did is they seized them and put them in prison to spend the night, because they wanted to talk to them the next day and question them the next day when maybe some of the crowds had moved on. And so for this healing of this man, they were thrown into prison. And so they next morning they get Peter and John out, and they're asking them, you know, what happened? You know, how did this come about? They actually said, "By what power or by what name did you do this? Did you heal this man?" There's clear that the man was healed. The man was probably even there at this conversation. By what power, by what name did you do this? Peter goes on to explain. He says, "If you're asking us, by what power, by what name we did this good thing, we healed this man, then let me tell you, and I want to tell all of Israel, and that is, he says, it's by the name of Jesus, the one that you crucified, but God raised from the dead. It's by his name that the man was healed." And then he goes on to explain that Jesus is the stone the builder rejected, that comes from that text comes from Isaiah and also the Psalms. And he says, he's become the capstone, that salvation Salvation comes from no one else except Jesus. There's no other name by which you can be saved. That's a pretty clear message, right? He's right to the point there. And as Patty mentioned, they were able to share that message because of the good that they had done. See, it was a consistent message. It was their actions and their words that were consistent. Now, the religious leaders seemed like they had really wanted to know the answer to the question, but they weren't real pleased with what they heard. As a matter of fact, they really wanted to get rid of Peter and John at that point, but the crowds had come around again, and they knew they couldn't do that. And so, sometimes people don't want to hear the message, all right? But in this case, we see a clear message being presented. So, we know that we're called to share our faith, right? We know that it's not just the preacher that's supposed to do that, or it's not just the traveling evangelist that's supposed to do that, or Billy Graham, but all of us are called to share our faith. That's good. Thank you. There's some of you are willing to say, okay, at least, right? This is part of what we're called to do. Sometimes we hesitate because maybe we're not sure exactly what that message is, right? In order for us to be able to share a message, we need to know what that message is, right? There's some people that you talk to who kind of know something about everything. Some who maybe even say they're kind of experts in everything, right? And so they start talking about something, and it is maybe a little way down the road you realize they don't really know what they're talking about, right? I'm not going to ask for names, right? Frank, I wasn't talking to you. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes this we run into this, and we hear people expounding on things that they don't really know about. If you don't believe me, just read somebody's blog on the internet. Okay, all right. This is what happens. People talking about a message that maybe they don't really know about or they don't really understand fully. Okay, this is why we go to experts, and you know when it comes to a physician, you know a doctor, we want to go to somebody who really knows what they're talking about. Right. What is the message that we as Christians are all called to share? Okay? I think we see it right here in our text. Okay? First of all, we see in verse 10 that Jesus is raised from the dead. And that's part of what our message is all about. Jesus is raised from the dead. That there is hope, that there is power, because Jesus has defeated death. And so for each one of us, we have this promise. We know that death cannot keep God down. That there's nothing that comes between us. There's nothing that we even have to fear in the future because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so there's a hope that's there. There's a power that's there that we can hold on to. And that's good news, folks. Okay, that's good news because our greatest enemy doesn't come from some foreign land or another faith or anything like that. Our greatest enemy is death. It's the enemy that all people fear. But we don't have to fear any longer. And so God has defeated that. Good news. The second part of this good news is that Jesus Christ is the capstone. Now let me break this down for you a little bit. Help you understand. The capstone, or the sometimes called the measuring stone, depending on your text, or cornerstone, was cut. It was the stone that was chosen that was perfect, right? Because the rest of the building was going to be shaped around this, okay? And so if it wasn't square, the whole building wasn't going to be square. So they chose the perfect stone, all right? In this text, we see Peter saying, you know, Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the basis of our foundation, of our faith, of everything that God is doing. And yet you choose to reject it and chose something else. Okay, so Jesus is the cornerstone, the capstone. Jesus, in other words, is of primary importance in our world and in our lives and, of course, in our faith. He is to be the central part of our faith. And I say this, and you say, of course Jesus is the central part of our faith. But so often, other things become central in our faith, don't they? Often, it has to do with other things where we get our eyes off of Jesus and onto the religious part of our faith. Sometimes we get so caught up in things like the churches have gotten caught up in the color of the curtains or the rugs, okay? Jesus is central, okay? And so Jesus is who we keep our eyes upon. That's the second part of our good news message. The third is that Jesus brings us salvation. We see this in verse 12. That it's through Jesus that this world is able to find salvation. Because of what Jesus has done, his death on the cross, paying the price for our sins, that through this we have salvation. And that, folks, is good news. It's the reason that we don't need to fear death any longer also. It's the reason that we don't need to live in fear, trembling fear of God, because we know that God will see purity and wholeness and holiness in us because our sins have been forgiven and forgotten by God. This is the good news message, okay? And it's pretty straightforward. Jesus raised from the dead, Jesus central to our faith and to life and to this world. And it's through Jesus that we find salvation. Now, the question is, how do we convey this message? Right? You don't have to stand on the street corner and hand out tracts that people are going to throw out. You can do that, but that's how is this word is conveyed? Okay? First of all, we see that this word is conveyed through the Word of God. We have been given this precious gift, God's Word. And through that, whether through the reading of it or the preaching of it or the presentation of that word or the hearing of that word, that God's word is proclaimed, okay? The Holy Spirit speaks to us as we read. God opens our ears as we hear. The word is also conveyed in our individual spoken words. Maybe not, you say, well, good, we'll leave it up to the preacher. But it's not up to the preacher. It's up to each one of us. The words that we speak, the things we say, the kindness that we express to one another. But it's also being able to express that message. You know, and we're told, again, the Apostle Paul says, always be ready to give an account for this faith that you have. Are we able to express what it is that we believe? That's an important thing. And sometimes it just takes a little bit of extra study or asking someone, how do I share this faith? Next Saturday, as a matter of fact, at the men's breakfast, one of the questions that came up is, you know, how do we talk about God when someone is experiencing disappointment or experiencing loss? You know, how do we talk about God? How do we talk about our faith in those situations? Sometimes we need some help from one another in those cases. Then there's another part, another way in which this message is conveyed. And this is really the way this began, this whole story began in the book of Acts. And that is, it's in our lives that this message is conveyed. The way that we live our lives, the power that is seen in our lives, as it was in Peter and John's. The example of Jesus as seen in our lives. That doesn't take necessarily a miraculous power for us to care about people, for us to reach out to people, to particularly go to those who are the marginalized, those who are rejected in our society, those who the rest of the society say, oh, they don't even belong here. It's up to us as we show compassion and love towards them, as we live this faith in as Jesus did, that people can see the love of God and they hear the message through our actions. The word that's used here in the salvation, verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It's salvation at the beginning and the word saved at the end. The Greek root of that word actually has some aspects of the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom. Salvation and shalom, which is a peace, which means wholeness, which means a oneness, a unity. This is salvation that is being talked about here. That there is something that has to do with wholeness and unity and peace with one another. This is salvation. We often think of salvation as when I die, I get to go to heaven. And that's a wonderful benefit. But Jesus comes to save us right now from this world, from the divisions that are part of this world, from the effects of sin in this world. Jesus comes to save you and me from ourselves. And we find this wholeness and we find this oneness with God and with one another. And this is all part of our salvation here and now. And yes, praise the Lord, when we die, we get to go to heaven too and spend the eternity with Him. But salvation begins now. And this is the salvation that Jesus offers to us. In His name, we live His example. And this message is proclaimed. What a wonderful blessing that is. So how do we keep this message clear? Unfortunately, our message sometimes becomes confused to people. Sometimes we do things that kind of muddy the waters, so to speak, right? Sometimes our words and our actions don't quite match up, right? There was a family that was, they were saying, the father was saying his grace. He says, "Gracious God, you know, I thank you for your bounty. Thank you for the food you've given to us, for this amazing meal that you have provided for us, for the bread and for the drink. Thank you, Lord." And then as dinner started going, he says, "This bread's dried out. It's all crusty. Honey, what did you do to the meatloaf? This is horrible." The little girl sitting at the table says, "Daddy, do you think Jesus heard your prayer when you offered grace?" He says, "Oh, definitely Jesus heard my prayer." "Do you think Jesus heard when you're complaining about the food?" "Oh, yeah, well, he probably heard that too, yeah." Little girl said, "Well, which one do you think Jesus believes?" Sometimes our words and our actions, right, don't really match up, you know. We pray for one another. We express the love of God. We express how God cares for every single person. How do our actions match up with that? Well, sometimes the waters are kind of muddied because we emphasize the wrong things, too. Sometimes when we're talking about our faith, the things that we emphasize have really nothing to do with what we were just talking about, that Jesus being raised from the dead, Jesus being central in our faith, or Jesus bringing us salvation and forgiving us of our sins. We sometimes get other things that seem kind of important to us at the moment, and we put them sort of in the main place of our faith. And that confuses people. You say, "Well, I thought your message was about love and compassion. Why are you so angry and hateful towards these people?" Right? Okay. When we emphasize the wrong things, when we emphasize rules over our relationships with God or with one another, it gets confusing to people, and rightfully so. Because what we've done is, you see, we've taken our eyes off of Jesus as the center of our faith, and we've placed something else there in the center, saying, "This has to be part of our faith." And Jesus says, "No, I have to be the center and the totality of your faith." Sometimes the waters become muddy because Christians themselves have trouble getting along together. All right? Think about anybody that you know who's come to church and then walked away from the church because maybe they say Christians are all hypocrites. If you never heard that, just ask somebody who used to come to a church somewhere. Right? That's usually the case. We get into arguments over doctrines. We get into arguments over interpretation of Scripture. We get into arguments over politics. We get into arguments over end times theology. We get into arguments about who's in and who's out of the faith. And all of these arguments, all they do is tear down at the unity. And so people see or hear us saying one thing, and what they see is anger and animosity towards one another. And so they go, so what is this message all about anyway? And Jesus gets lost in the midst of that. Folks, here's the point. The message of the gospel is clear. It's a simple message. Kids understand it. Anybody can understand the message. And it is a message that is, first of all, a unifying message. It's one that brings people together under Christ. It's not one that divides us. It's not one that says, well, I'm here and you're over there, so we just can't get along. It's one that brings people together under Christ. You see. It's a message that is also a message of peace and hope. Not a message of getting the other guy. Or, look how terrible this world has become. It's a message of hope about what God is going to do and what God is doing even now. It's a message that needs to be infused with peace, as our world does too. This message of the gospel is clear. It's a message of God's love for every single person. And God's love for this world that He has created and for every part of His creation. It's a message of God's love and a message of God's grace. And that message has to be consistent for people to truly be able to understand it. It can't be a message of God's grace, but not for you and not for you. It's God's grace for all humanity. All who will come to Him. And it's a message, as I've said before, that keeps Jesus at the center. When we focus on something that is not Jesus, we're losing our focus on what our faith is all about. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And all these other things, the things of earth, it says, they grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You see, it's all about Him, isn't it? Think about the messages you're presenting. Because you know what? Whether you want to or not, whether you consider yourself an evangelist or not, as a follower of Jesus, you are giving a message. Okay. What kind of message are you giving? Is it one that is clear? One that is consistent, both in word and deed? Or is it one where people go, you know, I'm not exactly sure what they feel about things. I'm not exactly sure what their faith is all about or what they're really putting their trust in. May your words and actions be like Christ and consistent. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank You that You did not send Your Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world would be saved through Him. We thank You that You have given to us this message of hope, of peace, of love, of grace, of redemption. And Lord, we sometimes understand this, but have a hard time expressing it. So help us, Lord. Remind us day by day. Help us to be able to hold a mirror up to our lives and see what kind of message it is that we're sending. And Lord, may that message be clear, and the message of Your Son. We thank You, Lord, for Your help and Your strength in this. We thank You, Lord, for Your conviction, as painful as that can be at times. Help us, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.